Orders of this house. Pastors Jim and Connie Childs.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. Hello, come on, wake up. Camp meeting. Let me give you another chance. Hello, glory to God. Wake up, it's camp meeting. Come on now, did you come expecting? Huh? Are you just waiting to see what's going to happen? There is a difference. If you wait to see what's going to happen, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. You will go home disappointed. Amen? But Daddy wants you to go home loaded. Come on now. He wants you to go home loaded with everything, amen, that he went to that cross for you to have. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Full, plenty, overflowing, amen, not just for you, but everybody around you. Hello. Amen. Come on now. It's camp meeting. We come to expect, amen. Even though we're here and we're speaking and we're ministering, amen, we're believing, we're receiving. Amen. I believe I've already received from Miss Becky. She refreshed me in such a way and reminded me of who we are in Christ. And again, just the identity. We are seeing it also everywhere we go. The church has lost who they are. Amen. And we're just here to help pump and breathe in the breath of God again. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to drop a few things in your spirit. Is that okay? Amen. Have you got room for more? Amen. I just want to share a couple things that the Lord spoke to us about this year. One of them, as he spoke to us, is that our camels are loaded. Camels are loaded. I want you to look at Genesis 24. And I'm reading from the Amplified. My mama taught me well. I love this. It says this in verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate, and he bowed down in prayer and opened in the open country in the evening. And he looked up and saw that, behold, the camels were coming. If you'll go on. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking across the field to us? And the servant had said, he is my master. So she took a veil and concealed herself with it. And the servant took Isaac everything that he, told Isaac everything he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. Camels are loaded. Hello. Why am I sharing that story? Isaac is minding his own business, doing what he knows to do. Rebekah is doing the best to do what she knows to do. And God had a plan for the two of them to come together. Amen. It was a promise from God to connect the two of them. Amen. And there's something in that. Look up. And I want to tell you, church, today, look up. Amen. Quit looking at what circumstances are in your face. Quit looking at what other people are saying to you and how they're viewing your life. And look up. Amen. Look up. Because your camels are loaded. The minute you can begin to look up in your spirit, amen, there becomes a supernatural expectation that you begin to expect God to respond to his word. Y'all are so quiet. He says, I'm faithful to watch after my word. Amen. And when God breathes and he speaks something, amen, he promises to fulfill it. Amen. So look up. Amen. One of the other things the Lord began to speak to us about was he's bringing back joy to the body of Christ. The joy, the church has been in such a state of mourning over life. one thing after another, one devastation, one disaster, one trauma, one something over and over and over, that somewhere in the midst of that, not intentionally, but we've lost our joy. Amen. And the Lord began to speak to me in my dreams, in my sleep, about breathing and speaking joy back into the church again. Amen. Because after all, the word does say that the joy of the Lord is what? And if there's anything the enemy would try to come after you in the midst of whatever you're facing, is to try to stifle your joy. Amen. Because the moment he does that, guess what else happens? See, it's like a snowball effect. The moment he can begin to steal your joy and take you off focus, where you're no longer looking up, but you're looking at, amen, your joy gets stolen from you. You lose your song. You lose your ability and your passion and your desire, your longing to be in his presence. Hello. See, I remember years ago when we would come out here and just spend time in the presence of the Lord, and people would want to know, were y'all going out to the church? They wanted to be in on it. Amen. And I'm finding now people are like, oh gosh, do we got to go to church? They'd rather stay home, kick back, I've had a hard week. Instead of pressing in, amen, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. My husband began to teach at the beginning of the year all over again, well, really last year into the first of the year, about the grace and the love of God. And I've heard it all my life. I've got wonderful pastors, wonderful teachers that have taught me word, 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 word. And yet, I found myself for about an 8-year period where I was suffering with severe migraines that would have me down for days. I'd have to sleep in the dark and in the cold for days. Then I finally went to a neurologist that put me on medication, that put me like in a fog all the time. I mean, I was there, but I wasn't there. And I had to function like that, amen, in the midst of believing that I'm the healed of the Lord. I knew it, but I didn't know it. And I didn't know I didn't know it until I was tormented with migraines. And somewhere in the midst of him ministering the grace and the love of God, somewhere in the midst of me realizing I've lost my joy, and I began to grab hold to it, I'm telling you what, I thought, you've been found out. And I would lay in that bed with tears in my eyes, and I would hum. Now, if you've ever had a migraine, it's so horrible that you don't want to hear anything, you don't want to say anything. Even the a vibration from humming is very, very painful, and I would hum to myself. And I remember one time in the midst of it, that old song come up, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing and laughing since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, nor can they keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. Oh, it's bubbling, it's bubbling. Yeah, I went there. And I had a suddenly. Back this time last year, actually, I can't even pinpoint the day and the moment that it happened, but I had realized, because my medication that I was getting, we were having it sent to our home through Express Scripts, because if you order 3 months supply, it's cheaper and it's delivered right to your house. Well, they had called us and said, it's time for you to refill. And all of a sudden, I didn't need a refill. I hadn't had my medicine for like 3 months. And I told my husband, I said, we don't need to refill it. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing and laughing since Jesus made me whole. See, it might sound silly or childlike, but that's the way he wants it. I love it when I kept hearing Sister Becky saying, it's so simple, it's so simple. I'm going, yes, yes, it's so simple.
Amen. The ways of God are so simple. He just says, trust me. Amen. So he's restoring joy. I believe some of you are going to get your joy back in a measure that you've not had in a long time, if not above and beyond that. Amen. Come on. You need your joy back. I said you need your joy back. Psalms 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. There's joy when you begin to realize how much Daddy God loves you. There is joy when you realize he wants you delivered in every bit whole. There is joy when you realize he no longer wants you to be tired and worn out and depleted. There is joy when you begin to realize that his grace is sufficient. There is joy when you begin to realize that he begins to bless and prosper. Amen. Everything that you put your hand to on your jobs. Do you realize your jobs do not have to deplete you of energy and of your attention? Do you realize that your physical jobs don't have to deplete you, amen, of your passion and your zeal and your ability to give of your talents and your giftings? Come on, amen. It not ought to be for a son and daughter of God. There is an ongoing supply. I have found out that when I give out, guess what? Daddy God pours back in. When I become stagnated is when I have shut down and I've given Father nothing to work with. We've got to cooperate, amen? Come on, we've got to cooperate with him. Huh? And if Daddy God is going to do it for me, I know he's doing it in the midst of you. Amen? So many of you were prayed for this morning. Don't allow symptoms to rob you of what the Father began in you this morning. I'm telling you, don't allow him to. You begin to talk to yourself. You talk to yourself anyway. Huh? Don't look at me like you don't. I know you do. Huh? You got to talk to yourself. You got to sing to yourself. Amen? I like this. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. I found also that too many times I find people that love God are putting the things of God off. One day, I'll see the promise of God. One day, I'll have the manifestation of that healing. One day, amen, my sons and daughters are going to come back to the Lord. One day, amen, they're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, loving God, serving the church. One day, and we never see it. We hear the promises, but yet we see them afar off. And yet Father says, now faith is. Now faith is the substance of things for hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Amen. Now I'm healed. Now I'm restored. Now my children are serving the Lord. Amen. Now I'm delivered and made whole. Now I walk in prosperity. Now I have all the help that I need. No longer do I have to be depleted of even help in the church. Come on. Amen. Now faith is. And I want to leave you with this last thing. I love this out of Isaiah 61. Oh, don't go there. Oh, I'm getting in his stuff now. Ooh. Ooh. Okay, I won't go there. Hallelujah. I just want you to lay your hands on your belly. You say, why my belly? Stir up the gift of God that's within you. Huh? Stir up the Holy Ghost that's within you. Stir up that place of expectation within you. Stir up. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Amen. Come on. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Amen. Lay your hands on your belly. Father, I just thank you, Father, that you are restoring your church, your bride, your beloved, Father God, to the fullness of joy, joy unspeakable, full of glory. Father, I thank you that there is an awakening within them, Father, whether they realize it or not. You are moving in their midst. Father, that you are pressing into them like never before. And Father God, I ask tonight, Lord, as we lay our hands on our bellies, that you breathe upon us a fresh and a brand new. Hallelujah. That there would be an increase of that, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you and I bless you, Father, for being in our midst tonight. I love you, Father. Just take a moment and tell him you love him. Amen. Come on, tell him you love him. We love you, Father. We love you. Thank you, Father. You love us too much to leave us the way we are.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Father. We love you.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brain it up, Doc. Well, those are all good words you can throw out. And if you can't think of anything, I'll just say, Brother Jim. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, how many of you believe you can hear the Lord?
Amen?
You really believe that? What's he saying? Hallelujah. Well, just go wherever he tells you to tonight, and we'll see. We'll have a test. It ought to be easy. My wife let the cat out of the bag. Isaiah 61. Amen. Look at somebody sitting next to you before we get started real good and say, pardon me, but I'm about to get beside myself. Amen. You might as well just warn them in advance. Glory to God. Amen. It's camp meeting. Amen. Brother Jerry told me on the way over here that tonight in the middle of this service, we're halfway through the camp meeting. Already, you're halfway through the camp meeting. And if you haven't acted up yet, you're almost late. Glory to God. Amen. So during camp meeting, you can act up and, you know, be all that kind of goofy stuff. You know, laugh, dance, sing. Glory to God. You know, shirk, jerk, throw your bobby pins, whatever you got to do. Hallelujah. Amen. And then Monday, go back to being your same old dry self. I mean, well, amen. Glory to God. Are y'all out there? Amen. Glory to God. One of the things that I was thinking of tonight as we were talking about or hearing Pastor Laverne talk about praise, one of the wonderful things about praise is the Bible says praise steals the avenger. Or in other words, it shuts him up. It cuts his voice off. And so when the enemy's coming at you, telling you all the things he's going to do and how bad the situation is and how bad the circumstances are, if you'll just begin to praise the Lord, it's just like slapping him in the face and telling him, shut up. Amen? And so you ought to just be praising God more and more and more and more. Amen. Amen. Now, if I turn around, you miss a good opportunity to say amen. And you need to catch up. Hallelujah. Have you found Isaiah chapter 61. Hallelujah. I haven't. I'm in Hebrews. Then it won't work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Normally I read out of the Bible that Paul wrote, but tonight, that was King James. Tonight I am going to just share out of Isaiah 61, out of the Message Bible. Glory to God. I normally don't use the Message. But I saw something in that just the other day, and I read it to my wife, and that's why I stopped her, because I thought she was going to go there. And then this morning I told her, I says, Pastor Laverne's getting ready to steal my thunder. I shared something with her this morning. I thought, there she goes. And then tonight she started on Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 is my favorite chapter. I had one in the Bible because it's just loaded with stuff. And God's been giving me revelation and more revelation. I was sharing my wife the other night about something that God just showed me about some of the things in Romans 8 about us being sons. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been preaching and teaching sonship for years, but he showed me something new there. Glory to God. It'll come out in the book. Hallelujah. years ago, I had opportunity to write for my Bible program or for the school that I was taking, and they wanted a thesis on Romans chapter 8. I sent it in, and they graded it A+, sent it back with a little note on it, some of the best I've ever seen. And I didn't even know half what I know today about Romans 8 and what God wants to do in the church and is doing in the church. Amen? Amen? You're going to talk to me, glory to God. Come on, you're going to talk to me. It's camp meeting. Glory to God. Amen. Isaiah 61, are you there yet? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let me reach out the message. That's what I said I was going to do. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God has anointed me. I kept, Pastor Laverne's been hitting these old songs, and I kept thinking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Look at somebody and say, he's anointed me too. See, the Bible tells us that, what? I like what Paul says. What? Don't you know your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost? So your body, look at somebody and say, the lights are on and somebody's home. Glory to God. He's dwelling in you. Don't you know that the Holy Ghost dwells in you, he's saying? And then John says it this way. He says, you have an unction. Unction just simply means anointing. You have an unction from the Holy One. And he says that that unction abides within you. Glory to God. He doesn't come and go. You don't have to sing songs, anointing, fall on me. No, he ain't falling. Falling from where? He lives on the inside of you. Amen. You are one spirit with the Lord. Amen. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made, whether you understand it or not. Glory to God. You're anointed. Amen. All right. So some of you, it's just hard for you to grasp. You're anointed. You don't have to come from Tulsa. You're anointed, glory to God. Amen. To anoint him, it just means that you've been smeared. God took the Holy Ghost and smeared you with it. And you are anointed. And the great thing about that is the enemy can't tell because you've been smeared whether or not he's dealing with you or if he's dealing with the Father. So he says, the Spirit of the Lord, the Master, God is on me because he's anointed me. And he goes on to say, he sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, announce freedom to all the captives, pardons all the prisoners. God sent me to announce, I love this, God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion. Now, I want to give you this phrase, divine exchange. Divine exchange. And I want to encourage you to grab a hold and take the divine exchange during the course of these meetings. He says, you're anointed. This is about Jesus here. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me to bring forth a divine exchange. He said, to give bouquets of roses instead of ashes. And so he wants you to give up your ashes. Ashes just simply talks about during that time that when they began to get sad or when they felt like they missed it, they would put ashcloth or sackcloth and ashes on them and just go into a long fast. And he says, now I'd rather give you bouquets of roses and you just give me your ashes. Well, amen. Amen. To give messages of joy instead of news of doom. How many of you could stand some messages of joy? All you got to do is turn on the news. You get all the doom you want. He said, I want to give you messages of joy. Well, not only that, all you have to do is go to church. You get all the doom you want. Amen. A praising heart instead of a languid spirit. He said, I want to rename you oaks of righteousness planted by God to display his glory. That's your call, to display his glory. Whether you realize it or not, the greatest thing you can be is not a good charismatic, Pentecostal, full gospel, Baptist, tongue-talking, cassette-playing. Hello. That's not the greatest call in your life. The greatest call in your life is to be conformed to the image of his dear son. You are a shade, a phantom, an illusion, a representative figure of all that he is. You represent the Lord in the earth. And there ought to be a boldness come on us that we can say, as if you want to see the Father, look at me. Amen. Because we're carrying the presence of God everywhere we go. Amen. One or two of us, glory to God. The rest of you will catch up. About midnight tonight, glory to God. You'll wake up and say, what was that he said? Brother Jim. A while back, I was just kind of getting ready to write something out, and you know, just the thought came on me: I need to write something. And as I do sometimes, I just begin to grab the pen and just begin to go, or just grab my iPad and just begin to type. And I typed this out and I actually posted it, but I want to read it to you because this is what's in my heart. And this is what I believe God is doing in our time that we're living in. While other people are looking for the great escape, I'm not looking for no escape. I'm looking for the kingdom of God to advance and the glory of the Lord to fill all the earth. Amen. And here's what I wrote. It says, the day is soon coming when the saints of God will stop being slaves to religious systems and beliefs. A day when we'll actually begin to believe that we are what the Lord says we are. He says we're washed, sanctified, justified, glorified, redeemed, saved, cleansed, forgiven, accepted, and loved. He says we're seated with Him right now. You don't have to struggle, try to get there. You're already with Him in heavenly places. He made us set together with Him. We are far above all principalities and powers and mights. By the way, if you're above them, you don't have to pull them down. You're already above them. Come on now. He says we're the temple, His children, His sons, His bride, a habitation of His dwelling, one spirit with Him. As He is in the world, so are we. We cry out for revival when in essence what we need is to embrace what He says about us and live out of that knowledge. We look for a church without spot, blemish, wrinkle, and face the shortcomings we see in the flesh rather than accept what He says about us. This only serves to cause us to strive to become what He already says we are. We must begin to look in the glass, the mirror, reflecting the image He sees with open face, without the veil of religion or law, free from shame, and see the glory of the Lord. We must keep going back and looking again and again until we see ourselves as He sees us. We are His bride. All must rise and declare how beautiful the bride is. We are His glory. We are His workmanship. He has signed His name to His work. As an author to His manuscript, as a painter to His masterpiece, we are Christians. We represent Him in the world. Revival, much more than revival, sons and daughters of God are rising and taking their rightful place. He was the first fruit among many. This is how we will do the things that He did and greater. It's time to shake off religion that simply seeks to make you like it is and embrace the purposes of God. There will come a day. And I believe we are fastly approaching that day, if we're not already in it, where God is rising up a church. I remember Fuchsia Pickett years ago when there was a scandal going on in the church. The reporters came to her and said to her, what do you think about all the problems in the church? She says, what problems? And he says, you know, the problems that are going on in the church, the scandals. And she says, which ones are you talking about? He says, and it was in the news, and he says, you know, the problems in the church. And she says, sir, you haven't seen the church. And I believe today that there's many that haven't seen the church. I believe there's a church inside the church that God is raising up to go forth and to become all that He says that we are. Amen? And you know how He's going to do it? We're going to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say Holy Ghost. For you dignified people, that's Holy Spirit. Amen. But Holy Ghost, there's something about the Holy Ghost when He begins to move in our lives and begin to take our lives and begin to use them for His glory. Amen. Come on, you got quiet on me. We're not going there. We're not going there, glory to God. Amen. We're not going back to la-la land. Amen. We're pressing forth. Remember that John the Baptist said that there was one coming after Him, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, whose shoes He's not worthy to undo. He said He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. And fire, by the way, is judgment. It's not what you think it is, and not firing you up, but it was judgment coming on the earth. And He said there's a judgment that was coming. And so He said the Holy Ghost will put fire in you. Amen. The judgment of fire to burn up all those things that are not right in your life. Amen. Well, amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said, but you shall receive what? What? Power. Everybody say power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power is dunamis, or actually what it means is to be a miracle worker. You shall receive the ability to work miracles after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not just so you can kick out of your Honda, tie your bow tie, and come, kitty, come, but power to be a miracle worker, and actually to be a martyr, if you would, to give your life so that others might come into the kingdom. Amen. You're producing evidence that He's alive, glory to God. That's your calling. And remember, with the Spirit of the Lord is upon who? Who? You're anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You receive power, amen, so that you can begin to do the work of the ministry, amen. On the day of Pentecost, it says, on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, everybody say fully come. Because you see, God does everything in the fullness of time. God's never out of time. He's always right on time. And there are some things that you've been trying to press into, some things that you've been trying to see take place, and it was not yet time for you. But I believe that we're entering into a time, into a season, where you're going to begin to see the hand of God move on your behalf. Amen? Glory. If you just get with me, I'll get to prophesying. Glory to God. Amen. And you're going to begin to see a release begin to take place in your life that's going to so revolutionize you that you're not going to be able to go back to the way you were. Well, amen. Remember, in Isaiah, he says, "For with stammering lips and an unknown tongue will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest wherein you will cause a weary to rest, and this is refreshing, but they won't hear." How many of you need to be refreshed? Huh? He said, this is it. This is your rest. This is your refreshing. Just spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. And if you pray in the Holy Ghost, something will begin to take place in your life. Amen. Amen. So you begin to cross over and begin to see some things begin to take place. Amen. Today I want to remind you, and I really feel it in my spirit that I need to remind you, Jeremiah 29:11. How many of you know what that says? "For I know the thoughts I have toward you, says the Lord." So God's thinking about you. Amen. And he's not thinking about devising a plan about how he's going to get you and how he's going to punish you because you've been so terrible. He said he had good plans. I'm just going to read to you out of the Child's Translation. "This is the thoughts I have toward you, declares the Lord. They're good plans. They're designed to create in you an expectancy so that you might fulfill your destiny." God's thinking about you. He's planning something in your life. He's been planning it all along. And I know you think you've messed up and you missed the plan. But listen, you don't miss your opportunity as much as you miss your moment. And moments come and go, but you've still got opportunity, glory to God. Don't ever let the devil tell you you waited too long, you missed it, it's gone past you. When the devil starts talking, remember, he's a liar. Amen? Glory to God. What are you doing listening to the devil anyway? Well, amen. And so God's up to something in your life. And he's trying to get you to a place that you'll begin to walk in your purpose and your destiny. And again, your purpose and your destiny is to manifest him in the earth. Your purpose and your destiny is to reflect his glory. Your purpose and your destiny is to take his power everywhere you go. Amen? I want to just tell you that, you know, that, and I may have told you this before, but you may be next door to somebody that's just ugly. I mean mean. Some things don't interpret, right? And you might want, or you may be working with somebody then, you just think that they're just such a heathen. And why in the world did God put me in this place? Because you are his light. You are his representative. He's put you there on assignment. He's trusting you. He knows that you can bring his presence into that situation and that you can begin to release the presence of God in it and bring change. Well, amen. See, y'all keep trying to go to sleep on me, and I'm not going to go there. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to get your amen right. See, I find out if you respond, you begin to receive things easier. It gets down in your spirit, man. Well, that's not the way we do it. This is camp meeting. So God's thinking about you. Amen. And I want to encourage you that on Jeremiah 29:11, just take some time and begin to meditate on that and let it get down in your spirit. You know what meditate means, don't you? It means to chew like a cow chews its cud. You chew it, you swallow it, and you bring it back up, you chew it some more. And actually, it has this understanding. Let me just say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Glory to God. It says right there, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Hallelujah. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Praise God. It's by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Hallelujah. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You see that? You just keep, and suddenly it becomes out of your spirit, and it's not just something you're saying, but something now becomes alive in you. And I want to encourage you to meditate on the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You're not here just to drift through life so that one day you can go to heaven and be a hallelujah hobo. Well, amen. I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm just going to fish all day. I don't know where you're going. Hallelujah. This is schooling for ruling and training for reigning, glory to God. Come on now, you're going to rule with the Lord throughout all the eternity. Amen. So who are you going to rule over? I don't know about you, but I might rule over something. No. Hallelujah. I had a call, and the person, I knew the person's father, and this guy called me, and he was, not called me, but texted me, and he was desperate, need to hear something from God, and because he knew my relationship with his father, he asked me to minister to him and to speak into his life, to give him some direction. And when I did, I just began to write out that thing. And when I got done, I read it to Pastor Cotting, and I said, you know, this is not just for him. This is for all of us. This is a word that I believe that God has released to us, and I just want to share it with you. I heard the Lord saying that like Jeremiah of old, your life was fashioned, ordained, and planned with his purpose. And he has set you aside to them. Yet now you're experiencing the wilderness, the valley, the returning, and the becoming. Amen. Like Jeremiah of old, your life is fashioned with a purpose. You know what Jeremiah said? Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Amen. And I don't know if I did this before, but before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you, he ordained you, he sanctified you, he set you aside, he pre-ended your life, and he sent you forth with a purpose. And I like it like this, Ricardo. One day, Father was looking out over the affairs of the earth, and he saw such a mess was going on, and he said, who do I have that I can send? So he went over to his spirit locker, and he said, let's get this Ricardo spirit. And he sent it to earth with a purpose. Come on now. Sent it to earth with a purpose. You didn't come to this earth just to get by. Listen, if all the Lord was concerned about with you getting to heaven, he would have saved you and slayed you. Come on now. You have a purpose, glory to God. It's bigger than what you can even imagine. And it can only be fulfilled as you allow the Holy Ghost to begin to work in your life and work through your life. Well, amen. So here's what I've discovered. We have to locate where we're at in the things of God. We have to see where we're at on our journey, because we're all on a journey with the Lord. We're all walking this thing out. None of us has arrived. If you have, please see me after service, because I want to know how you got there. But we're all different stages, and we're all in the plan of God, but with different purposes and different plans, individual plans that God has for us. And we're all uniquely made and anointed by God. And God has something special he wants us to do. And you might be able to do something I can't do. And I may be able to do something you can't do. But every one of us is needed as we begin to surrender our life to God. Because the glory of the Lord is going to flood the whole earth. The kingdoms of men will crumble. Come on now. They're going to crumble. People are worried about what's going on in the world. Don't worry about it. It's going to crumble. If you're really concerned about it, take your rightful place and begin to decree the word of the Lord into it. This earth doesn't belong to the devil. Never has. Never has. I know we said the God of this world, but if you really studied out, the God of this world was the law. And we're free from the law, glory to God. Well, amen. So locate yourself. The Lord says you're in the wilderness of wandering. And it's in the wilderness of wandering, it's amazing what takes place in that wilderness, because it's in the wilderness of wandering that he begins to make the man or the woman. He begins to forge his impression on you. It's true, sometimes we go through the stages that we don't know where God is and we don't know what God is up to. I know nobody here has ever felt that way. You pray, your prayers don't seem to go nowhere. You rebuke the devil and he doesn't rebuke. Huh? And so you're out there, you think, God, do you hear me? Do you even care? And you don't realize that while you're in that position, God is working on you. He's strengthening you. He's fortifying you. And you don't understand that the wilderness will not last forever. You will come out of the wilderness. And when you come out of the wilderness, just like when Jesus come out with full of the Holy Ghost, amen, ready to do what God wants you to do. You're not amen in me. Hallelujah. Say amen. Shake your head at least so I can hear something. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says this, "And thou shalt remember all the way the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep the commandments or not. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by the proceeding word of God." We live by the word of God. Amen. It's in the wilderness that God begins to speak to you his word. It's in the wilderness when you're looking for somebody to comfort you and there's no comforter. You're wondering, how come they don't even call? Do they not even know that I'm not in church today? What's wrong with them? The Bible says that, you know, that the elders are supposed to anoint us with oil. I take it that means that they're supposed to know when I'm sick. And so I'm upset, but yet God begins to deal with you, and he begins to cause his word to come alive in you, and he's making you and molding you so you can be more than what you were when you went into the wilderness. Amen? Don't think of the wilderness as something that's going to destroy you, because you belong to God. It can't destroy you. It can't take you out. Quit giving the devil too much power. He's defeated, amen? He's defeated already. Go over to God. Well, amen. Okay, I got to tell it. Used to be years ago, they all talk alike. And one of the dear saints, and you probably heard me say it, but I just got to liven you up a little bit, come to me and said, "Brother Jim, you better be careful what you say about the devil, Brother Jim. Don't you know he'll get on you?" I said, "Sister, let me tell you one thing. If he gets on me, he'll get off a lot quicker than he got on, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." And you need to realize that when you're in the wilderness, you're never alone, glory to God. You may not sense the presence of God. You may not feel the presence of God. You may not hear the voice of God. But listen, you are never alone, for he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Amen. There's something going on, glory to God. You may not be able to see it, but if God be for you, then who can be against you? Amen. He's there with you, glory to God. And every plan that the enemy has will come to naught because God is with you. Well, amen. And so that wilderness is no big deal. Amen. He says it's in the wilderness. Now listen to this. In the wilderness that it's in the wilderness that you will confront yourself and will be faced with your greatest temptations. You will confront yourself and be faced with your greatest temptation. Everybody's saying, "Well, the devil did this and the devil that." And I always ask him, "How did the devil do anything to you? When did he leave my house to come after you?" He can't be everywhere at one time. But what happens is when we're going through hard times, of course, in America, you know, we've got this thing so messed up. We think spiritual warfare is my washing machine broke down. Or I got a flat tire on the way to church. And we don't understand spiritual warfare really is just enforcing the victory. And just because we already had the victory, amen? Amen? See, all over here, y'all half asleep. Over here, they're half awake. Hallelujah. And so we confront ourselves, and it's when we have to be honest with ourselves. "I thought I had more faith than that. I thought I was God's man or woman of faith and power, but now I'm going through this. I'm not so sure anymore. Huh? I thought I had all the answers, but now I don't even know what the question is." Come on now. And we confront ourselves. Amen? We deal with issues like pride. You know, I've never been in a service where somebody stood up and said, "I just want to testify, I'm so full of pride." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You think they'd be proud of it. But we confront ourselves. Because, you know, character is made when we're going through things. Our character is made. And see, when we're having success, that's when our integrity is tested. But when we're going through things, our character is being tested. And so God is confronting us and or allowing us to be confronted so that we can see what we're made of, so we can see what we're relying on. Amen? See, because a lot of us, we claim truths that somebody else knows. I read in a book somewhere, you know, and so therefore, devil, you have to do what it says. And we don't have it down in our spirit. It's not part of us. Well, amen. Hallelujah. It's there in the wilderness that you have to do something. You have to remember your dream. Tell somebody, say, remember your dream. See, that's what the enemy's after. He's after the anointing, by the way. He's not after you, per se. He's after the anointing. The devil could care less about you. He doesn't like the anointing. He doesn't like the glory of God that rests on your life. And so he's out to mess that up. And when you're in the wilderness, you've got to remember your dream. You've got to remember your dream. Has God said? Did God say something to you? Did God speak something to your spirit? Did God show you something in the night seasons? Did he put a dream down in your spirit? And see, what happens so often, because we live in a Burger King society and we want everything right now. We want it our way. And when it doesn't happen right away, we determine we must have missed it. We determine it must not have been God. Or we determine we've blown it, now God can't do it in our lives. But yet we've got to come to a place that we're saying, I'm going to hold on to this dream. I don't care what anybody else says about it. God has told me. God has showed me. And it doesn't matter if everybody gets mad and walks away from me. It doesn't matter if the economy crashes. It doesn't matter who's the president or who's not. It doesn't matter. Are you following what I'm saying? God has showed me something. God has told me something. I'm going to hold on to this dream. Remember your dream. Somebody asked me one time, said, why haven't you given up? Because God hadn't released me. How do you give up when God puts something in your spirit? I don't understand that. If God says for you to be something or do something, or God gives you, how do you give up on what God says? Because once you start giving up, where do you stop? And every time you give up, it becomes easier to give up again. So remember your dream, amen? It's place that God places in your heart. And when I'm saying remember your dream, remember also the word that God's spoken to you. If God spoke it to you, like Beretta used to say, some of you won't know who that is, you can take it to the bank. Amen? That's the only sure thing you have, is the word of God. Everything else is subject to change. That's why he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Actually, it's this word, that you shall live by the proceeding word of God. Because God is always speaking. He's always saying something. His word is alive. It's active. And if you'll open your spirit up, he'll lead you and guide you and direct you, encourage you and comfort you, glory to God. He'll bring correction in your life. Thank God for that. Where will we be without the correction of the Lord? Well, amen. So we got to remember the word. Remember the word. I know so often we do this saying that's become religious to me. You know, if you do it, forgive me. I've got the John Osteen spirit again. If I rub the cat the wrong way, the cat has to turn around. But we do this thing, and we grab our Bible and say, this is my sword. No, it's not. It's your Bible. It doesn't become a sword until it becomes a rhema word to what God is saying right now in your present situation. Are you following that? You just don't pick and choose a scripture and try to use it as some magical portion, a potion. Glory to God. It's scripture has to come alive. It's what is God saying to you about that situation. Then speak that, glory to God. Remember the word that he said to you. Amen. And then some of you are in the valley of decision. Should I? Could I? Would I? Huh? You ever do that? Should I do this or should I do that? Huh? Could I do this or could I? You know, it's sort of like going to the buffet bar. You know it's a challenge. Huh? Come on, you know it's a challenge. Hey, I've been around church a long time, church dinners. You know you don't eat that way at home, but it's a church dinner, and the buffet is spread. And it's like somebody said, I dare you to see how much you can eat. And your response is, I'm going to see how close I can get without sinning. Amen. We got a new new understanding of what full gospel means. So we're in a valley of decision. Should I? What can I do and get away with? Should I do it or should I not do it? Could I really be what God says I am? Huh? Do I have to go to seminary. In order to become what God says I already am. Are you following me? Well, maybe I'm on the wrong side of track. Does God really mean for that to happen in me? Could it be possible that God would use me? I mean, you know, I'm one of those guys that use terminology like staring at a calf staring at a new gate. Or hunker down. Could God possibly use me? And we question ourselves when we ought to just surrender to God and just let God do what he wants to do. Let God show you what he can do. Amen. Remember, there was no such person as a water walker. And Peter stepped out of the boat. And listen to me very carefully. You always have a religious brethren trying to keep you in the boat. Peter, what are you doing? You know you can't walk on water. Huh? And then they walk on water and everybody else wish they would have been the one got out of the boat. So you're in the valley of decision. Let God lead you in that. Let God show you what you need to do. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I could preach if you just got with me a little bit. Hallelujah. Oh, I hear him saying, do not justify, but rely on the Holy Spirit. Do not justify. Amen. People have always been looking to justify. Adam, did you eat of the tree? Yeah. The woman you gave me. She made me do it. And it wasn't him blaming the woman. He was blaming God. You gave me the woman, God. What am I to do? Justifying. Just like Mary and Martha. Jesus, if you had been here. Always looking to blame somebody else for our actions or our lack of actions. And he's saying, quit justifying. Don't seek to justify why you've done what you've done or not done what you've done, but simply rely on the Holy Ghost. Amen? Everybody take their hand like this. Remember when you was in school, they had chalkboards? And you had to take the eraser? Take the eraser and just wipe away everything that was yesterday. Just wipe it away. All right, now you don't have anything to justify yourself on. It's gone. It's gone. Amen? Don't seek to justify anything. Just rely on the Holy Ghost. He will take you places you've never been before. Come on now. I remember the first time I was in a service down in Paris, Tennessee. This guy come in, a big, tall, lanky guy, getting ready to go to the mission field. And he's walking like this. One leg is just, you know, quite a bit shorter than the other. And they put him up there on the chair, and as they get ready to pray for him, says, sometimes you don't have to even pray, you just say the name of Jesus. And when he said the name of Jesus, I mean, just as using it as an example, that foot shot out. Now, I was raised Catholic and American heathen. And so, I came from a background that, you know, to me, to try to say there was a God and didn't believe he could do the impossible, to me, it didn't make sense. So I always believed that God could do the impossible. Are you following me? But when that leg jumped out there like that, I jumped up and said, did you see that? Amen. If you just let the Holy Ghost do something, he'll do it. Amen. Just rely on the leadership of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what to do. Let him do it. Let him lead you. Amen. Are y'all out there? Then I hear him say, there's a call for you to come out of relationships that have sought to influence you and dampen the fire that God has placed in your life. Come out of relationships. Not every relationship is good for you. Come on now. Yeah, I just want to fit in. You wasn't called to fit in. You was called to stand out. You're called to be different, glory to God. Anybody can fit in. When I was growing up, they had what they called greasers, frats, cakes, soch. Everybody asked me, what are you? I said, I'm independent. I didn't fit into none of them. Because about the time you try to label me, I'm going to do something different. Are you following me? And see, you're not called to be like the world. You're called to be different than the world. And I'm going to just tell you, you're not called to be good little church members. You're called to be Christians. Like Christ. And so we've got to make up our mind that we're going to stand out and we're going to do what God wants us to do. Amen. And if it means I've got to come out of some relationships, then I'm going to come out. Can two walk together except they agree? Actually, it means make an appointment to agree. Can you walk with somebody unless you first sit down and say, okay, you know, I'm going to overlook this about you. I'm going to overlook that about you. I'm going to overlook that you just don't have any intentions on living for the Lord. I'm just going to overlook all that. No, you're going to fall into the creek with them. And so sometimes you just got to come out of relationships that are not good for you and just begin to embrace those that are going to help you. Amen. Well, amen. Then I hear him say this, and this is for many of you here today. Return to where you lost it. Remember when you used to be on fire for God? Huh? You remember that? Well, I heard the testimonies of it tonight. We used to come together and pray, and, you know, we sat in the presence of God. And remember when you used to be on fire, when there was a passion in you? I hear the Lord saying, return to where you lost it. The prophet was building a house, or they wanted to build him a house, enlarge a place where he was living. And as they was cutting down trees, one of the guy's axe head came off and fell in the water. And he come to the prophet and he says, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." In other words, I'm in trouble. And the prophet just simply said, "Where did you lose it? Or where did it fall in?" And see, sometimes you have to understand that before you can go on, because all of us are wanting to advance. We want the joy of the Lord, don't we? We want signs and wonders and miracles, don't we? But we refuse to deal with the fact that we lost the fire some way, and you're not going to go forward until you return to where you lost it. Pick it up, recover your fumble, and move on then, glory to God. Return to where you lost it. What was it that stole the joy out of your heart? What was it that stole the fire? You used to tell everybody about the Lord. You couldn't wait to, when you went out of the service, to call somebody up and tell them, "Boy, you really missed it tonight." Huh? I remember one time somebody told me, says that we had services after services, you know, just kind of afterglow services. And somebody told me, says, "That always happens after I go home." I said, "What does that tell you?" But we used to tell, you know, if somebody saw us coming, they wanted to go the other way. Because they knew they was going to hear about the Lord. They knew they was going to hear about what the Holy Ghost did last night. Come on now. And somewhere or another, we just grown comfortable and we lost the passion. We've got to return to where we lost it, pick it up, and go forth with God. Come on now. Hallelujah. And listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. It's because of grace we can. You get that? It's because of His grace we can. Amen. For the Lord has, listen to this word, for the Lord has truly placed His hand upon your life, and nothing else will suffice. You're called a champion in my kingdom. I've gifted you with inner strength and adorned you with meekness. Your enemy will seek to use your creativity, your talent, your compassion, your sensitivity against you in an effort to keep you in the wilderness. God calls you His champion. Y'all didn't hear that. God calls you His champion. I was in Trinidad, and the prime minister came into a conference that we were in, and he wasn't expecting the crowd. He was visibly shaking when he come out on stage and seen the crowd, and in their culture, when they ask who's your champion, it means who's your hero, or who, you know. And so he says this. He says, "Who's your champion?" And everybody screamed out, "Jesus!" And he was visibly shaken. That it was everybody at one time yelling Jesus, and he wasn't expecting that. I don't know if he thought he was a champion or what. Are you following me? But see, you're a champion in the kingdom of God. You are the best God has where you're at. That doesn't mean you're not improved. That doesn't mean you'll get stronger in God. But right where you're at right now, you are the best God has. Well, amen. So arise. Everybody say, get up. Yeah. Arise and determine to become what God says you already are. He says you already are. Amen. Listen, my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. He says you already are. You're already a temple of the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? That means when I get around somebody, I carry the presence of God with them. Come on now. And so if somebody's acting all crazy and goofy and everything else, and I come up in them, I ought to expect things to change because the presence of God comes with me. Amen. People come to church and say, I hope God shows up. Well, didn't you bring them? Huh? Come on now. See, we got all our understanding so wrong. We put God off somewhere, but he's not off somewhere. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. You are the change that needs to take place. Well, amen. You are the change. When you walk in a room and people are fussing and carrying on, when you walk in the room, there ought to be the peace of God walking in there with you, and they don't even know why they stop fussing and fighting. The peace of God comes in. Amen. Becky, I like to pick fights. I get in services and I sense a demonic spirit. I start talking about the blood. I mean, because I know they react. And I try to pick a fight with them. Go ahead and show yourself. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be so sure of the presence of God in us. Come on now, be so sure of it. That God flows through you. That God will use you just the way you are. Come on now, with all your shortcomings, all the failures you have, God will still use you. People tell me all the time, you got to pay the price. What's the price? What's the price? Somebody say, if you want my anointing, you got to pay the price. What price did you pay? Huh? You just accept what's already been done. Huh? Because they think there's different kinds of Holy Ghosts, I guess. Well, if you just want my anointing, no, I'd rather have the Holy Ghost. You keep what you got, bro. You don't even make it sound attractive to me if you got to pay a price for it. Amen. Now, here's what I discovered. It's natural for us to question. I believe it's part of our growing into our own individual ministries and our own giftings and callings. So we question things. And it's certain right for us to question some things that we have learned. I've had to question things that I've learned. And I've even questioned some things I've done through my life. I know you never have. But listen, we need to press in and discover the answers. Amen. And in doing so, here's what happens. We'll see temptations and struggles losing their power and their hold over our lives. And we'll see ourselves beginning to come into a place of maturity where God will begin to flow through us so effortlessly. You know, there's healings and signs and wonders. They're not something that's extraordinary. They ought to be ordinary for us. They ought to be ordinary for us. Amen. Because what's going to change the world? You show them signs and wonders and people will flock to it. Pastor Connie can tell you, we were in a service one day and we normally don't minister that way, but as we were ministering, we just felt really impressed to deal with people that were abused. And we did an altar call. If you have been abused, we want you to come forward. We want to pray for you. And we believe that God's going to heal the emotional scars and so forth and so on. And when we gave the altar call, I bet you 85% of the church came forward, if not more. And I stopped them. I said, no, you didn't hear me. I said, for those that have been abused. And they still came forth. And as we began to pray, there was one guy standing there, and he just began to shake. Big, tall, lanky guy just began to shake. And he couldn't say anything for a while. And then finally he says, I've just been tormented all my life. And I said, you're ready for the torment to stop? He says, yes. And I laid hands on him, and he fell out. And He went back and told my wife, he says, he's trying to talk. There's something in that guy. Yeah. And then, I don't know, somewhere or another, he came back up again and he says, he's standing there and he's crying. He says, was he 81? 81 years old. And for 70-something years, he'd been carrying this torment without anybody to help him. And the worst part of it was he was going to church. Huh? And there's people all around about us, and they're just looking for somebody to do what they say they believe, to be who they say they are. Well, amen. Exactly. He was coming to church that morning, and he was going home to commit suicide. But God. And see, God wants to use you. He wants to flow through you. I can't get this through enough that you don't have to preach. You don't have to, nobody has to know your name. You don't have to be in seminary or cemetery or anywhere else for God to use you. You don't have to get good enough. Come on now. Listen, God used a donkey. You think you might measure up? Huh? You think you might measure up? I mean, actually, really, who am I that God would use me? Huh? You think I don't mess up? What are you laughing at? Huh? We need to realize that God will use us if we'll just make ourselves available. Amen. You want to fill the church up? Start being who you say you are. Just start being who you say you are. Tell somebody, say, you know, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to lay hands on you. Huh? Come on now. Are you following me? I had one woman in my first church. She says, you know, Brother Jim, she says, I don't understand it. Everybody I lay hands on dies. I said, don't touch me. Yeah, that's where her faith was. At least she was trying. Well, amen. So remember, God has a plan for your life and a purpose. Amen. This has been so quiet to me. So quiet. Glory to God. So he has a plan and a purpose. Amen. Do you know what God's plan is for your life? Do you know what God's plan? Do you know what God's purpose is for your life? Are you going to just kind of slide through your time here on earth? Are you just going to slide through and just one day go to heaven, not ever fulfill your plan, the plan or purpose for God in your life? Or you really want to press in there and say, God, I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Huh? This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Huh? And so we got to tap in there and say, God, what is it? I know you have a plan for my life. It says right there in Jeremiah 29:11. So what is it, Lord? I want to know it. I want to fulfill it, glory to God. And realize that when you are in God's plan and in his purpose, he will also bring protection in your life. Amen. He'll bring protection in your life. And I can't stress this enough. Quit worrying about the devil. He's got enough with me. Quit worrying about the devil. Come on now. So we give that guy too much power. If you read the word, the Bible says, now is the prince of this world judged, now is he cast out. He loses his power, glory to God. Well, amen. So God will protect you. Not only will he protect you, but he will bring provision for you. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's already seen your need. He's already made provision. Well, amen. But more than that, his presence will be with you. I love it when he says, Lord, if you don't go, don't send me. I feel that way. Come on now, I feel that way. I've been in churches that I go to minister. I walk into place, I walk halfway in, and I stop and think, oh my God, what am I here for? Amen. And his presence will be with you. And not only his presence, but his power. His power. We watch people. We make celebrities out of people. And we think, I wish I had that gift. I wish I had that power. I wish I had that anointing. You do. The only difference between you and them is they tapped into it and they started using it. It's the only difference. Well, amen. God loves you enough to empower you and flow through you. Well, amen. He does. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to think where I need to go with this. Hallelujah. Well, amen. I said, well, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Becky, I heard the Lord say that He's about to give you a new launching pad. And it's like He's giving you a base that you're going to be established. But it's not the base you have. He's going to give you a new base, and it's where you're going to be going out and coming in, going out and coming in. And the base is going to be able to sustain you as you go out and come in. I also heard the Lord say this, and I don't want you to think nothing about it, but I heard the Lord saying that there's a glitch in paperwork. But the Lord said, I'm going to mess up their desk. And you're going to see the hand of God begin to be fulfilled on your behalf. And it's like the enemy thought, this one last tactic, this one last trick. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to confound them. I'm going to mess up their desk. And things are going to come into order. And when it does, it's going to be the launching of this new thing. And the Lord says, as He begins to launch the new, the Lord said, it's going to begin to revolutionize even what you're thinking and what you thought the Lord was going to do in your life. The Lord said that greater things are about to take place. It's almost like that old game, Mother. May I? Can I take a giant step? And the Lord saying, I'm giving you permission to take a giant step. You're going to begin to see now that leaps and bounds. It's just like there's been some obstacles and you're going over every obstacle, leaps and bounds. You're going to see the victorious celebration of your God begin to be manifested. And doing so, there's a provision that's going to be released into your life that's going to free up some other areas that God has said. Even over the last 6 months, the Lord said, I put some dreams in your heart about some things I wanted to do. And the Lord said, I'm going to make the provision for you. You're going to be able to do it without any stress, without any striving. And the Lord says, it's just going to begin to come together. And it's going to free up not only you, but your husband to do some great and marvelous things. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Are you going to help me, or are you going to just sit there and look pretty?